Okay, Alexandra, let's talk about the riots in Belfast the other night in Northern Ireland. And this has put the Boris Johnson government on alert. It's put the Irish government on alert. What is going on in Belfast and in Northern Ireland with these riots that broke out after, I believe, after a Sinn Féin funeral? Is that correct?
Absolutely correct. That's exactly what it was all about. There was a Sinn Féin funeral of a prominent figure within Sinn Féin. I should explain to our viewers that Sinn Féin is the nationalist party in Ireland. It is the party which led Ireland's independence from Britain in the period directly after, during, and after the First World War. It formed the Irish Republic, which broke away from Britain after an independence war, a bitter independence war that was fought with the British, and which then eventually consolidated itself, this Irish Republic, which in the southern part of Ireland after a brief civil war that took place in the 1920s. So it is the historic nationalist party of Ireland, and it has always aimed for a united Ireland. It has always opposed the fact that this northern region within the island of Ireland, which is goes by the historic name of Ulster, was retained under British control when Ireland became independent of Britain in 1922. And the Ulster is itself divided. There is a Protestant community there. This is a Irish nationalism has always been a religious issue, so Irish Catholics have tended to be strongly nationalist, strongly Republican, seeking independence from Britain. And Irish Protestants have tended, on the contrary, to be loyal to Britain. Within Ulster, there's been a long history of conflict, which began, took a particularly violent form in the late 1960s, when, after several decades of discrimination against the Catholic community in Ulster, in Northern Ireland, there was a violent struggle against the British authorities, led by the nationalist community and led by Sinn Féin. And this eventually ended in a series of agreements negotiated in the 1990s, first by the Major government and then by the Blair government in Britain, with Sinn Féin and with the leaders of the Protestant parties in Ulster, in Northern Ireland, which has led to a power-sharing executive government being set up in Belfast, in which Sinn Féin shares power with the Protestant parties there. But this has always been a rather uneasy arrangement, because from Sinn Féin's point of view, from the perspective of its supporters, it's always been a transitional state until Ireland is eventually reunited and Ulster joins the Republic in the south, whereas the Protestant parties in the north, in Ulster, who are currently in coalition with Sinn Féin, are strongly opposed to that. So it's an unstable political situation. Now, this was a Sinn Féin funeral. It was a funeral of an important Sinn Féin official. During its the commemorations around it, the various restrictions that have been imposed as a result of the pandemic were broken. The Protestant community, or at least part of the Protestant community, saw that as once again the British government and the authorities in Belfast turning a blind eye to Sinn Féin and its supporters' actions, which break the law or at least break the restrictions. And this, coming on top of various other things, has led to this outbreak of rioting, which has been principally driven by young people from the loyalist, pro-British Protestant community. Now, the spark was this funeral, but the underlying cause is the series of very complicated deals that Boris Johnson did in order to achieve Brexit. If you take your mind back, and it's a complicated story, Theresa May made the fatal decision of agreeing to make a long-term commitment that the Irish border would remain open and that goods would be allowed to move backwards and forwards between Britain and the EU in order supposedly to preserve peace in Ireland. Now, that in effect was done by the EU in order to keep the rest of Britain within the European single market. Boris Johnson got round that problem by saying, yes, the border, the Irish border, will remain open to movement of goods, but there will be a new border, if you wish, between Northern Ireland and the rest of Britain along the Irish Sea. So Ulster remains, to a certain extent, within the European single market, as the Irish Republic remains within the European single market. But the rest of Britain does not. The rest of Britain breaks away and goes its own way. Now, inevitably, some Protestants in Ulster, perhaps most Protestants in Ulster, see that as Britain letting them down, betraying them, if you like, accepting the fact that one day Ireland will be reunited and that Ulster will be allowed to join or forced to join the Irish Republic within the EU, and Britain creating an internal border between itself and Ulster. So this has fed resentment, and on top of that resentment, there's been the resentment many young people feel about the pandemic restrictions, and now we've had this episode of the Sinn Féin funeral, which has lit the spark. So it's a complicated situation. It's a difficult situation. It's a very difficult situation for the Johnson government because they can't very well unpack this series of arrangements they've made with the EU without upsetting the Catholic Sinn Féin side of the political equation in Ulster. And we will see how it turns out. I was in Ulster. I visited the city of Derry in Northern Ireland 2 years ago. My strong impression there, when I was there, was that there was a will from all parts of the community, Protestant and Catholic, to avoid a slide back into war and armed conflict. But of course, in that part of the world, in Northern Ireland, these divisions are very strong, and that risk always remains.
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, the fear is that you don't have a slide back into what the area went through. But the reality of the situation is a couple of things that I want to ask you, actually, about the reality of the situation. The first one is that Theresa May, you know, formulated some very bad deals, it seems. But that's the reality. That's what we have now. And so if the North was to, if Ireland was to unify, to reunite, I mean, the reality of the situation is that that's part of the EU at the moment. If the EU is still around, it is part of the EU, and there will be a border. I mean, there's no other real way around it, is there? If you're going to be part of the EU as a united Ireland, you are going to have a border with the UK. I mean, there's just, I don't see how can it be avoided. How could something like that be avoided? And the other question I want to ask you is, what could Johnson have done differently? Because it's probably a strategy of the EU to place as many minefields and as many thorns in the side of the Boris Johnson government, or of the UK for that matter, to make it as painful as possible for Brexit, in order, for many reasons, but I think first and foremost, to show the rest of Europe, look, if you break away from the EU, you're going to go through all this type of hell that, you know, the UK went through. So I mean, it may have been a strategy of the EU as well to make it as difficult and as painful a transition for the UK as possible.
Well, the answer is it was a strategy by the EU. We now actually have some of the internal EU discussions about this, and in fact, admissions from EU officials. It was an entirely cynical exercise. They wanted to keep Britain within the European single market. They calculated to themselves that the British would never agree to internal customs borders within the EU. And so as a result, they thought that by negotiating this deal with Theresa May, whereby Theresa May committed herself indefinitely to keeping the Irish border open, that Britain would have to remain within the EU single market. They didn't anticipate that Boris Johnson would say, well, fine, we're going to leave the EU single market, even at the price of an internal border. They never thought that would happen. Now, the person who is entirely to blame for this, in my opinion, is Theresa May, because when the EU played that particular game, what she should have said as Prime Minister of Britain is that this is an entirely internal affair of Britain, what kind of arrangements we have with other countries. We are not prepared to make any long-term commitments about our border with Ireland. We're certainly not prepared to discuss or even consider any internal border arrangements. We have a clear mandate from the people in the referendum to go ahead with Brexit. And once we've done that, we will negotiate with Ireland whatever arrangement we think is going to be suitable and beneficial for us, for Ireland, and for the people of Northern Ireland going forward. That is what a strong, intelligent, wise leader, mindful of the national interest, mindful of of the need to keep peace in Ireland, would have done. She didn't do that. And as a result, she has created this situation, which is now starting to show how difficult and intractable it is likely to be. It is the price we are still paying in Britain for the incompetent leadership that she showed.
How does this resolve itself, do you think?
I think eventually it will be resolved. I think that what's going to happen, first of all, I remain of the view, and I think I should say this, as this isn't perhaps going to happen immediately or very soon, but I having been to Ireland, I do sense that sooner or later the problem will resolve itself, because more and more Protestant people in Ireland are quietly coming to terms with the inevitable reality of Irish union at some point. So I think that will solve itself eventually that way. But in the short term, I think what needs to happen is for the British authorities to give reassurances to the Protestant community in Northern Ireland that they have not been abandoned, that Britain is still concerned about them, that Britain still intends to make sure that their interests are protected and preserved, and that in terms of the Sinn Féin funeral, that was clearly wrong, because these restrictions apply equally to everyone, and that Sinn Féin is not exempted from them. So I think that's what it needs to do. And I think, given that I don't think anybody in Ireland, North or South, Catholic or Protestant, loyalist or nationalist, wants a return to the violence, I think that this would be enough at the moment to calm the situation down. I think the other thing that's going to happen is that as of Monday, we're going to see across Britain a significant easing of the restrictions. That's already been announced. And I think that will also serve to some extent to calm the situation in Northern Ireland, because I think a lot of the protests, and in fact, not just protests. I mean, things have been going on all over Britain. I mean, parties and impromptu parties in all sorts of places, young people gathering, protests and all that sort of thing, is partly an expression of pent-up frustration and resentment at the existence of these restrictions. So if people can go out, if they can socialise, if they can do things with each other again, then I think will also calm the situation. So I think this situation will be resolved in the short term in that way. In the medium term, there will always be problems because it's always going to be difficult to balance the feelings that there are. And I think the British might want to one day revisit the question about whether this internal border that was foisted on them is something that they want to retain. Boris Johnson considered ditching it a few months ago. The EU then raised a stink about it. There were some people in Britain who said, you know, absolutely impossible. We can't act contrary to international law. In reality, Britain often acts contrary to international law. And Johnson sort of retreated from taking that step. But perhaps in future, a prime minister, perhaps Johnson, perhaps another British prime minister, might say, well, it's absolutely wrong that we have this internal border. We're going to do away with it. And at the same time, we're going to come up with whatever arrangement we can with the Irish Republic in the south. And we will sort it out bilaterally that way. I ought to say, and it's an important point to understand, that the British have always been prepared to keep an open border between Ulster, the north of Ireland, and the Republic of Ireland. They've always said that this has never been a problem as far as they're concerned. It is the EU that has always said and has always insisted that if Britain leaves the EU and leaves the single market, then there must be a hard border between Northern Ireland and the Irish Republic. So given that the Irish Republic does not want a hard border either, and given that Brexit is now a reality, I would have thought that doing away with this internal British border and renegotiating this thing bilaterally ought to be much easier to do than it was previously, before Brexit happened, but after Theresa May made that disastrous and completely misconceived concession, which by itself ought to have been sufficient to remove her from the office of Prime Minister.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that question. Actually, you answered it. Why can't just a Prime Minister in Britain just say, you know what, we're out, we're already out, so screw it. We don't need to deal with, we'll deal with this border between us and Ireland, and we'll settle it bilaterally.
Absolutely.
What stops them from international laws? That's what's going to stop them? I mean,
yeah. Well, I know quite. I mean, you know, international law stops them invading, well, didn't stop them invading Iraq, but stops them trading with that part of their own country. I mean, it's a ludicrous idea, actually. But the fact of the matter is, actually, relations between Britain and the Irish Republic are basically very good. I mean, there are obviously some unresolved issues between Irish people and British people. Nobody denies that. But overall, I mean, that history is behind us. And I think that nobody wants to see a renewed conflict in Northern Ireland. People in the south, in the Republic of Ireland, can look forward one day to the very likely prospect, it seems to me, of Irish unity. Ireland does not want to see a collapse in its relations with Britain because that would devastate Ireland economically. So I think that it's not beyond the skill of diplomats, given all these realities, to negotiate a good solution which would tidy things over until that day of Irish unification one day comes. So I don't think this is going to be the massive event that's going to re-trigger the war in Northern Ireland, which some people, I think, fear it may. But it's important to say again that the situation in Belfast, in the north of Ireland, is always volatile. These emotions and these feelings run very deep, and one must never take anything for granted.
All right, guys. You'll find a link to the Durand Shop, 10% off. Use the code down below. Take care.